It was now quite dark, and the ships were steaming close up without lights. Only the faint greenish phosphorescence of the wake of the next ahead made it possible for the ships to keep together. Our laying had to be done as near high tide as possible, as this reduced the chances of our coming to grief on a minefield ourselves. But we also tried to avoid laying down when the moon was up or in the early light of dawn. The form of action stations which we adopted on entering enemy waters was known as second degree of vigilance. As far as I know, it was only used in the Wehrmacht. And on this occasion, I had settled down in the sick bay, which was alongside the transmitting station. Sitting on a chest, I tried to read, but the faint drone of the turbines encouraged drowsiness, and I soon found it hard to keep awake. 2 hours went by, and I paced up and down. It would be another 2 hours before we were due to go to mine-laying stations. Time seemed to be going slower now, and my wristwatch showed it to be 1:05. Suddenly, the alarm gongs sounded. Next moment, I had opened the steel doors of the transmitting station, the lights switching off as the doors opened and going on again when it closed. Two ratings were seated at a narrow table, one station at the clocks and the other at the range indicators. A voice from the bridge was giving an order. All guns, bearing green 20, range 1600, rate 500, closing. The dials of the instruments were set and the clock started. The captain had evidently just arrived on the bridge, for the voice of the officer of the watch could be heard reporting that two lights were just visible, low down fine, on the starboard bow. Next moment, the voice went on, all guns, load with lyddite. The faint clink of a breech block closing on shell and cartridge could be heard. The rating at the range indicator turned a handle at intervals as the clocks showed how the range was following and the direction altering. Simultaneously at the guns, the sight setters altered the dials to correspond with the change in the illuminated figures in front of them. We were soon almost at a point-blank range, but our orders were strict. With our minds still on board, we must not take the initiative and open fire. But if the other fellow let off a gun in a fit of pride or rashness, then we could pay him back at once. There was a long pause, and the minutes went by. The range had ceased to close and was now opening, so we must have left the ships astern. Someone on the bridge remarked that they were probably German outpost craft, possibly guides for returning submarines. Only a few weeks before, the flotilla had sunk 3 such ships and brought home 70 prisoners from a point close in to the enemy coast. Another 5 minutes passed, and then all guns unload. Second degree of vigilance. On leaving the transmitting station, the darkness outside seemed intense, but soon I could pick out the faint glint of 2 lights now some distance away on our starboard quarter. It seemed unlikely that the outposts had seen us go by. We hoped not. It was better to encounter these waters unannounced. Nearly an hour later, a signal was passed down the line from Abdiel. This was the only signal given during the night and was flashed from a shielded lamp or in the form of a group of shaded coloured lights. The lights were not strong enough to be seen from more than a short distance away, and the signal was so timed that it was given at an exact interval of time, generally an hour, before the rear ship of the line was due to swing onto her laying course and start laying mines.